Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We just sang, "The kingdom is ours forever." Is it? Thank you. It is. And it's okay to say, yes, it is. God promises. Sometimes we may feel, the world may make us feel like the kingdom is not ours. But the devil can't take that by force. Then Jesus said to the tempter, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" And him only shall you serve. That's a pretty hefty goal. A goal in which Jesus, unlike the first Adam, would be perfectly obedient. Have you ever wondered how might things be different if Adam had not taken his eye off the goal? It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Again, it is written, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." What if, when tempted, Adam had said to the serpent, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Today's readings speak of goals and objectives. We find goals and objectives in all aspects of life, in work, in school, in personal life, and professional life. It seems like every sport is about goals and objectives. Some goals are measured by hitting a target, obtaining a deadline, crossing a finish line or a goal line. But it seems that also, in much of life, as in many sports, there are also goalies. Someone whose only objective is to defend the goal and to keep you from achieving that goal. That's what the devil was up to in our reading today as he tempted Jesus. The goals and objectives for Adam and Eve were pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Number one, be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth. Pretty simple. And number two, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from the fruit of the tree that's in the middle of the garden. Pretty straightforward. Other than that, the sky was the limit. No dream too big. No goal was beyond the realm of possibility. But that wasn't enough for Adam and Eve. St. Paul reminds us that by Adam's disobedience, the many were made sinners. For the judgment that followed, the one trespass brought condemnation. Because of the one man's trespass, death reigns. The one man's trespass led to condemnation of all men. But he doesn't leave it there. He goes on to say, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. The free gift of God, the free gift of God's grace, would be the gift of his only begotten Son, whose only objective was perfect obedience. Perfect obedience in everything to his Father in heaven, which also included dying on a cross. That those who receive, Paul continues, that those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness may reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. By this one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. The many will be made righteous. Do you feel righteous? You are. Not because you feel it or don't, but because he says so. He declares you righteous. He sees you righteous. And so the serpent, the devil, made it his personal goal to tempt Jesus, and to, as he had tempted Adam, that Jesus might disqualify himself. He wasn't powerful enough to take Jesus on head to head. He had to find a way to trip him up, to get Jesus to disqualify himself as the perfect Lamb of Calvary's cross. If he could do that, then he could keep all of creation, including you and I, enslaved in filth and evil. So the tempter tried some of the same old lines that he had used successfully on Adam. Being the very Son of God, Jesus could easily have turned stones into bread to feed his stomach. He would later turn 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish into a picnic big enough to feed a small town. But that was different. That was in service to others. That was in obedience to his Father in heaven, that his Father might receive the glory. Jesus would never gratify his own flesh, but would live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. Would that Adam had done the same. Adam had everything handed to him. He had never been in want for anything. He didn't know what it was like to go hungry. And yet when tempted with forbidden fruit, Adam coveted in his heart the things of which the serpent spoke. The serpent hissed at the fruit, offered personal freedom to do whatever Adam wanted to do. Adam and Eve could live the way they wanted with no accountability and no consequences. And that way the fruit appeared pretty sweet. The fruit appeared more attractive than any other the fruit that God had given. So Adam disbelieved in his heart what God had warned. He was weakening under the temptation to put the Lord to the test. So the serpent continued to push. He sweetened the deal. He sweetened the deal with a lie that is at the core belief of every sinner. The devil said, "You can have it your own way. You can be like God." These are the same lines that he would later use on Jesus. The kingdoms of the world can all be yours with all their glory. "You will not surely die," the serpent hissed to Adam. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God." Don't you want to be the one who decides what's good and what's evil? After all, it's your body. It's your life. You deserve to have it your own way. And the devil said, "All these things I will give to you if you will only fall down and worship me." And Adam went for it. In the gospel reading, Jesus was hungry. He had not eaten for 40 days. I don't even know what that would be like. In his human nature, he was tired. In his human nature, he was weakened. For 40 days, Jesus was assaulted. He was tempted with everything that tempts you and tempts me, and yet he was without sin. So he understands. He knows what you're going through. Jesus' goal, Jesus' objective, was to serve you by living a perfect life, that he might die a sinner's death. It has been written that the fruits of sin are the subsequent evil works that are forbidden in the Ten Commandments: unbelief, false belief, idolatry, being without fear of God, presumption, not knowing or honoring God. There's also lying, swearing falsely in God's name. That seems to be rampant in our time. Not praying or calling on God's name, neglecting God's word, disobedience to parents, murdering, behaving promiscuously, stealing and deceiving. In all these things, the original sin inherited by Adam and Eve has caused such deep and evil corruption in the human nature that human reason doesn't even comprehend it. Oftentimes, human reason doesn't see anything wrong. The being like God that the devil offered, having your eyes opened that you may know good and evil, wasn't a good thing. It was a big lie. The irony of the whole thing for me is that in their eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, mankind no longer sees evil for what it is. It is evil. It is sin. God's law is written on every human heart. And yet without the words of Holy Scripture, man foolishly says in his heart, "Well, what's right for you might not be right for me. What's right for me might not be right for you, but hey, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. Besides, I'm not hurting anybody." But it simply doesn't work that way. But the Lord, in his great mercy, still cared about his original sinners. He would not leave them to be lost or to perish in sin, nor would he leave us. The male seed of the woman would prostrate the enemy. He shall bruise your head, God said to the serpent, and you will only bruise his heel. Satan understood this threat, and so he continues to rage against humanity with great hatred. Adam and Eve's desire to be like God has brought to all mankind death and every kind of bodily ill, together with the tyranny of the devil. Ever since the original sin, the human nature has been enslaved and held captive to ungodly opinions and ungodly errors. Well, things that we see played out in our time in all sorts of sensual desires and violence and illicit practices. And so the death that Adam merited by his disobedience has spread to all humanity. But through faith in Jesus, death no longer reigns over his people. Death no longer reigns over you. By the death and resurrection of Jesus, God the Father has restored to believers, to you, the reflection of his perfect image. He chooses not to see the bad stuff. God has restored to you his own purity. He has restored to you freedom from passion and lust. He has restored blessedness. He has restored alienation from evil. Through Jesus' death on the cross, all the attributes that help form in us the likeness of God, all these things have been restored freely. And as restored creatures of God, God has restored to us the dominion that he had given to Adam before Adam sinned, the duty of ruling over his creation, the goal and the objective of proper stewardship of all that he has created, the great and the small. And so on these things, as the season of Lent begins, we find ourselves reminded of our need for a Savior and our promise thereof. Jesus, by way of a cross of Good Friday in the empty tomb of Easter, would crush the devil and has crushed the devil. At the beginning of the world, human beings were created by God, and they were created righteous and holy, but they transgressed God's commandment through the deception of the serpent, and they became sinners. Thus, they corrupted themselves and their posterity and fell into death and condemnation. But through the proclamation of the offspring of the woman, wounded for our transgressions, by his wounds we are healed. By his wounds you are healed. God said to the serpent after he had deceived Adam and Eve, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. Conflict between Eve and the serpent would be the history between the descendants of Eve and the descendants of the serpent. But these things of which God speaks go deeper than just the loathing that most human beings have, well, of a snake. The hostility and conflict between all the descendants of Eve and the descendants of the serpent would be narrowed down to one descendant of Eve. His name is Jesus. And they would be narrowed down to the serpent himself. Jesus has achieved his goal. He has fulfilled his objective. And so we hear St. Paul proclaiming, and so we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. You have been reconciled to God through Jesus. By way of Jesus' death on the cross, the serpent has been crushed. The book of Revelation refers to him as the ancient dragon. That dragon, the devil, the one who had accused you before God day and night, he is thrown down. All debt for sin is canceled. Jesus has risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In him, though you die, yet shall you live. Jesus opened the gates of heaven to you. And in that place, there is no knowledge of good and evil, but only good. For evil cannot enter therein. So in the same way, may our lives be a reflection of the good. May our lives be a reflection of God's goodness to us. For you truly are his children. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.